I'm so glad you're here.
My name is Kathy Brophy. This is Little Victories Podcast. A quote I have on my classroom board: the strongest people are those who win battles we know nothing about. This podcast is inspired actually by my father, Tom Brophy Jr., who was an author and wrote a book called Little Victories. And his philosophy was, by helping people create small victories every day in their lives, we can hopefully turn them into bigger victories. My dad specifically worked with people that were unemployed. And my thought is, what a great philosophy this is to live. So my hope is to bring on regular, ordinary people as my guests who have stories that people can relate to. And I hope you enjoy. Thank you. All right. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. So June marks Pride Month, and today I'm sitting down with some of my colleagues, and we're going to spend some time sharing some of our lived experiences as people in the queer community. As we engage with each other today, I want to remind our listeners that we are speaking only for ourselves, as our community is diverse and encompasses an array of many identities. Before we begin to talk, it would not be right if we didn't mention the history of how we came to celebrate Pride. So the Stonewall Riots, also called the Stonewall Uprising, began in the hours of June 28, 1969, when New York City police raided the Stonewall Inn, a gay club located in Greenwich Village in New York City. This raid sparked a riot among bar patrons and neighborhood residents as police roughly hauled employees and patrons out of the bar, leading to 6 days of protests and violent clashes with law enforcement outside the bar on Christopher Street, in neighboring streets, and in nearby Christopher Park. The Stonewall Riots served as a catalyst for the gay rights movement in the U.S. and around the world today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to invite my guests to introduce themselves and to share as many parts of their identities as they wish to. So we'll start here.
Hi, I'm Steph. I use she, they pronouns, and I am bi.
Hi, I'm Tim. I use he, him pronouns, and I identify as gay.
I am Chelsea. I use she, they pronouns, and I haven't really told anybody, but I consider myself like a non-binary Black woman, and just because I can't separate my experience as a Black woman from that, so that's, yes, and queer, of course.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline. I use she, they pronouns, sometimes she, her pronouns, either is fine for me, and I am a cis bi woman, and yeah, I also, a lot of people at work, and not everyone in my life knows that, so.
I'm Christine. I came out long ago as bi. I use she, her pronouns, but over time I realized that I'm actually asexual, pan-romantic, monogamous, cis, female, probably some more adjectives there too, but those are the ones I'm going with today. I like queer.
Yeah. All right, we're bringing it all. That's what I love about this. All right, so everyone's sitting here. We're a little bit nervous. People are like thinking about what they're going to say, so we're going to kind of like ease this a little bit. So I've got a fun question for people. Those of you that have listened to this podcast before know this is how I start. So if you had a song that played every time you walked into a room, what would it be? We'll start over here.
Mine would be Gloria by Laura Branigan. That is my go-to karaoke song, and it makes me feel good every time I hear it.
Makes my karaoke song not work for this. I would do, I don't know. I was thinking the first thing, Desiree's Gotta Be, like the you know, throwing it back. I think if you're going to play it that many times, you need to have a good intro. Okay, but it's also a great song. Yeah.
So my, I think, go-to song would be, so there's this, like, Caribbean song called Chichimon, which means, like, homosexual male, but it's not a great term, but, like, there's, like, kind of, like, a joke amongst, like, Caribbean people that, like, we're taking the term back, so the song is, it's not a good song, but when a song comes on in the club, or, like, if we're at the party, like, we're screaming it. At the top of our lives.
Great. I was stumped by this one, but I chose I chose Déjame Entrar by Carlos Vives because I knew nobody else would choose it. And it means let me in.
Okay, very literal.
I also don't have an answer. Well, I don't have an answer that I feel so confident in, but my initial thought is See You Again by Tyler, the Creator. It's just what I'm jamming to right now, and I feel like I could listen to it many, many more times.
Okay. All right, we got through that. So now we're going to get into and talk about kind of why we're here a little bit. So I want to give us an opportunity to talk about some of our experiences. So oftentimes, I mean, for the most part, we hear coming out, coming out, coming out. Something that I heard and I've kind of held on to is about inviting in. So whether you choose to come out to people, whatever it is you want to share, or you want to invite people in, I want to give each of you a chance as much as you would like to share some of your memorable moments on the parts of your journey about coming out or inviting in. So that is open for whoever would like to start.
I'm happy to jump right in. Like I think many people, I knew that I was gay at a very, very young age, elementary school, and didn't really come to terms with it, cope with it in any real way till after college, right after college. When I did come out to my parents and my siblings in my very early 20s, a long time ago now, it was a really tumultuous experience, really unpleasant. The short version of the story is that over many years of working really hard on relationships, my parents came around, my siblings came around to a place where we ended with a really beautiful relationship. My mom passed away just several months ago. And it took a lot of work, and there was a lot of pain there. But my parents, who I thought would never change, came around and really embraced me, my identity, embraced my husband as a, you know, as their son-in-law. And it was a beautiful thing, although hard to get there.
Yeah.
It's heartening.
And this is wide open, too. I'm just not the question asker. You all, we can all respond to each other as we feel. So thank you, Tim.
Sure.
Thank you.
I remember the first moment where I realized that I was queer. I was in kindergarten, and I told another kindergartner that I had a crush on Lisa. Hopefully Lisa's not listening. The response that I got from my friend was, No, you don't. Lisa's a girl. And that pushed me into the closet for another 20 years or something. And so I didn't officially come out really to myself until my late teens, and then I didn't come out to my parents until my early 20, I guess 19. And it was also not the best reception. My parents are pretty conservative, and so that experience was not the best at the time. But like you were saying, I feel like my parents have come around and hopefully will continue to come around as they meet like my real partners and see how much happier I am now.
Nice. Okay. I think I never felt very strong attraction to anybody. So when I was in, I think, high school, I was having a conversation with a friend about a futuristic society and a fantasy world. And I said, well, you know, women will live with women and men will live with men. And she came back with this, you know, what, nobody wants to do that, you know. And I said something on the order of, well, it doesn't really matter, you know, it's all just, we're all just socialized into these roles we had. And so that was sort of the first time where I noticed that, because she came back really strongly like, no, you're wrong. But I just didn't realize that I was different. And then in college, I figured after getting a lot of data that I was equally attracted to everybody. But then, and coming out to my parents was no biggie. My mother was very liberal and very accepting, and my dad was very hands-off, your personal life is your personal life. And I ended up with a man, so they have a son-in-law, and I have children, so that hasn't been a big deal. But then later, after getting some more data, sort of figuring out that I was ace has also been kind of a complete non-entity. Everybody's like, okay. But, you know, mostly what I get from my parents is, that's nice. Thank you for telling us. let's talk about something else. Not in a bad way, but they're just not, it doesn't seem to be a big deal.
Your mom is cool. I've danced with your mom.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I really enjoyed that.
That was
so much.
That makes me think of, have any of you watched Sex Education?
Yes, oh, love that show.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I'm blanking on the name of the character when you're talking about the fantasy world.
Oh, I can't remember her. She has the cool hair.
Yeah, reminded me of that. Oh, shoot, there was something else you said that reminded me. Oh, just that context, I guess sort of as a segue of sorts, just that part of the reason, context is really important, right? So in terms of what you were saying, in terms of like your parents having that reaction, something for me that's come up a lot, not like a specific moment's coming to mind, but thinking about disclosure as a teacher, like I teach beyond the binary.
So that might come up.
Yeah, might come up for some reason or another. And I also didn't want people to think that was like why I was teaching the course or why I'm so involved in a lot of the human rights and social justice issues. I didn't want people to think like I was doing it like for myself. And I think I started thinking more about it. I studied gender and cultural studies at Simmons University. And so having a lot of these conversations in terms of navigating spaces as a white woman, as a cis woman, as a bi person who is also married to a cis man, right? And how that can be, you know, a lot of people see that as quote unquote safer, and it can be, absolutely. And also it can be really limiting in terms of expressing yourself. I know I gave Steph the book Greedy by Jen Winston, but I highly recommend. But she talks a lot about that experience. It's definitely like a millennial experience, like her story.
And then I think how I figured out that I was attracted to like women, or at that time like girls, it was silly. So me and my god sister, it was when we were in middle school, the boys were annoying and harassing. So we pretended like we were, you know, together. Yep. And so then like after a while, it was just like, oh wow, like I'm not kidding. Like she's straight. And I was like, well, for me, like I actually like, like at the time girls. And so that's like how it like blossomed from there. But I wasn't, it wasn't new just because like my mom also has had experience with women. So like coming out to her was pretty easy. My dad, it's like, if you see it on Facebook, then that's what it is. But he, again, is hands off and has never mentioned it. So, yeah.
So that kind of is a good lead into the next question about how has your experience as a person in this community impacted you in various parts of your life, family, work, travel, parenting?
So I know that when I interviewed in this district 15 years ago, I specifically asked the question, what's it like for an out gay professional? Because I was coming from a district that was really progressive, very, very supportive, and I had a lot of job security there and could see a future. And so, you know, obviously the answer was a favorable one, and I came to this district and I've been here. So that, you know, that has had a big impact, knowing that I was coming into a place that by and large, it hasn't been perfect, but by and large, it's been a supportive community.
That's good to hear and a little surprising to hear. I don't know, just based on, not necessarily my own experiences, but based on what students and some of the other staff have told me. I know without naming names, years ago I definitely met with people in central office about this not feeling like a supportive space specifically for queer staff, and the reaction was like, yeah, oh, I agree, I wouldn't be out at that school, and that was pretty disheartening. And obviously that was, I've been here 9 years, and that was probably like 5 years ago, So I think that just goes to show you in terms of everyone's having really different experiences. Yeah, makes me wonder what about here compared to other places, like thinking about Pride in Boston and like Brookline and Newton, like they usually have huge, you know, be it GSA or their version of GLOW, et cetera, groups, and what's different here. I think about that a lot.
You know, that's a good point that you bring up, because in my previous district, mm-hmm. there was always an educators group mm-hmm. marching mm-hmm. in the Pride Parade.
Wow.
And I don't mm-hmm. think no. our community has ever done that.
No.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So here's we can move into something else. Did you?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I'll put them both out there. What have you had to overcome, and is there anything you have had to let go of in this journey?
I can say that I have overcome my self-consciousness. Mm-hmm. I think I had a lot of internalized homophobia, biphobia mm-hmm. when I was younger. Being raised in a pretty conservative Christian household. And so that took a long time to overcome. And then it also was sort of another little hurdle, being comfortable casually saying to whomever, students, parents, whomever it might come up with, that I am queer, I have a partner who is not a cis man, and I feel really confident now in my queer identity, but I know that it, for me, hasn't always been the case, and I know that's not maybe an uncommon experience.
Very similarly, I let go of a lot of societally imposed mm-hmm. things, mm-hmm. Partly that was also being a parent, mm-hmm. but when you're, you know, an out person in some way, you kind of have to do the modeling that you would have wanted had you been a student. And is same as a parent. My kids are now teenagers and one's in college. And, you know, it was important to me that they didn't get stuck with some of the hangups that mm-hmm. I got stuck with. Mm-hmm. And so in order to make sure everybody knew that it was okay to not shave your legs at the beach,
yes.
then I had to do that and go to the beach and be me, which is really me. That's who I am. Mm-hmm. But I would always wear pants and, you know, I've let go of those things.
I will say, my caveat, I guess, to my earlier answer, now hearing your answer, Christine, is I am comfortable with my bi identity. Mm-hmm. I am not as comfortable with, like, my gender identity, I think, mm-hmm. And expressing aspects of my gender that do not align with societal mm-hmm. norms. I'm still sort of trying to overcome that, I think, and you know, like body hair is a great example of that, and how that would be something that I think would be really liberating and also is scary.
Yeah.
It's scary for me to think about my students judging me for that, random people on the street judging me for that. And as much as I would like to think that I am beyond people's opinions of me, I think that that is very much still something that I am dealing with. And the privilege that comes, I think, with being cis presenting, straight presenting, and sort of trying to let go of the privilege that I've had my whole life.
All right, I've got another one here. So I purposely didn't let you all know this one. Did you have something you wanted to add to this? Go.
Okay.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this one always makes people. But I want to end. We're sharing like such vulnerable parts of ourselves and things that I want to kind of switch gears a little bit. So I'm going to ask each of you to think of a person that knows you better than most. Okay? How would they describe you?
Oh,
I know it. I tested this one on Maria, too. She did the same reaction. I said, okay, now answer it.
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, I have to leave now. So.
I mean, I'm known in my household as the one with a very bad memory, but I'm smart and creative, but you know, my knowledge of history is poor. I'm not the parent that anybody goes to for that topic. So,
okay.
Creative, smart, bad memory.
Empathetic, but to a fault. Sometimes not really, and actually relevant here, fully thinking about myself and the implications that things can have. But also I think fun. and yeah, enthusiastic. I don't know. That's coming to mind.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I think very proud. Like liberal, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. not caring what anybody thinks. Mm-hmm. And even I had to work very, very hard with that. But like now I don't give a F. and also just like very caring. Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
I think I'd be described as somebody whose brain does not shut off, and somebody who's very passionate about, you know, whatever the things are I believe in. Like, I'm passionate about language acquisition, I'm passionate about making sure every kid has access to, you know, long, high quality language study. I'm passionate about social justice. And I think those would be ways people would describe me. Mm-hmm. I think I'm fun, maybe.
Yeah. I want to resonate. I feel like we're in a like-minded group.
Yes. Yeah. I am going with the person that thinks the most highly of me out of anyone. That I'm going to go with that person. They would say I'm hilarious. And also that I am, to steal your language, like unable to turn off my like social justice brain. So when we're casually watching things, it comes up still. And you know, anti-capitalist very much so. And I think hopefully caring and introverted, but also able to be outgoing.
And we are celebrating Pride, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. So we're going to start to wind down here.
Wait, and, Kathy, yes. Please, can we hear your answer?
Yeah.
I'm going to say something at the end a little
okay.
bit.
Okay.
Yeah. No, thank you. I'm going to give each of you a sentence to start and ask you to finish it. All right, so I think just I'm going to go around, and you might be like, "Oh my gosh, why did I get that one?" But I'm going to just point to you and get, and then you can have, and then just like whatever comes to mind. So I'll give it to you, and then I'll come back. So you're going to have "I feel," that's yours.
Okay.
You're going to have "I notice." You're going to have "I wonder." You're going to have "One thing I understand today is," and you're going to have "I hope." All right. You want to go?
Sure.
Go.
I feel really grateful to be among like-minded people and to have conversations about things that I find important and I feel passionate about.
I notice that while we all have different experiences and journeys, that there's very clearly a common thread in our experience.
I wonder what the future holds for staff, queer staff here. And like Tim said, maybe that will look like marching in the Pride Parade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so.
Yeah.
We can make it happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. The director of my grad program helped organize the latest Pride for the People. So I definitely can if you want. Mine is I learned today.
One thing I noticed, one thing I understand today is.
Oh, I was going to do something similar to Tim's. Just that, well, not just that we all have, yes, of course, we all have different experiences and are coming from different places and have all these commonalities, but just that we can have such vastly different experiences, even working and sometimes living in similar places, I think is important because a lot of people generalize about Massachusetts. This is supposed to be a sentence. I'm done.
I didn't stick to a sentence either, I don't think.
Do you want me to go?
Yes.
All right, so mine is I hope, and it's I hope things will get better, but I also wanted to quantify that because I think things have gotten better since I was young. So I hope things will continue to get better because, you know, if we look in the news, we still have some better to get.
Yep.
Yeah,
definitely.
There's some stuff happening.
Yeah,
definitely.
Always.
Okay, So we are going to wind down. And again, I want to thank each of you for sharing yourselves today. So we're going to wind down by repeating a phrase. And I'm going to tell you what that phrase is, but I'm going to give the quick backstory. So I was in my mid-20s, mid to late 20s, living in Boston. My dad was down in New Jersey. And I was trying to come out to him over the phone and or invite him in. And I was stumbling over my words, And he paused and he stopped me. He says, "Kath, I already know." And I said, "How do you know?" And he said, "When you love someone, you pay attention." So I'm actually getting a t-shirt made. I will give you all one with that on the front and little victories on the back. So to honor my father and the common thread that we have, I'm going to start it and you all are going to finish. So I'm going to start with when you love someone and you're all going to say, you pay attention. Okay? All right. When you love someone,
you pay attention.